Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bride.
Welcome, welcome. This is the first time I think Steve's actually let me kick off the show.
Oh, stop with the
lips.
It's a co-host.
It is a co-host. I'm just saying, this is, I think, the first time you gave me the last minute point, second point.
Don't screw it up.
Well, anyways, a lot big show today,
yes.
Per usual. We are bringing back.
Mm-hmm.
It was Ask Steve Anything.
Yeah, this is a very popular segment.
Now it has to be Ask Us Anything.
Yeah.
Even if most of the questions are directed
to you. I'm
going to
tell you
right
out of the gate, be prepared, because they will ask you questions that you're not thinking about. So be ready for that.
Do you just make it up as you go along? You've answered with us just to sound
smart. I'm not a
liar.
Why would you say that?
Am I
an elected official? Is that why you're saying
that? If you start texting your questions in now, we will save them and answer them at 11:15 today, 855-616-1620, citing unlimited WTMJ talk and text line.
From politics to whatever.
I mean, personal life?
Personal life. Yeah, not so much that. I mean, not going to dig deep on you or my personal life, but if you listen to the show or your show, they kind of know the story, yeah. Right? We're married. You've got a young daughter.
I do.
I've got older daughters. So we'll get into some of that stuff. But I think this first story, and by the way, we have some great guests today as well.
We do.
Stephanie Hauser from the WIAA, which is the premier organization, sort of manages all the private and public schools, their sports. Sometimes controversial.
Well, people, if you know anything about sports parents, they're very invested in their kids playing sports.
Yes.
And so
she'll be here at 10:15.
I would imagine her experience is like every high school referee's experience into infinity.
Just, yeah. I mean, she's probably at every, and she's a great, great interview. So I had her on the show a couple months ago, and she's just fun to talk to.
Yeah.
She knows Wisconsin. She knows sports. And she even knows the NBA. We could talk a little bit about that.
Exactly.
Famous
All right,
connection.
Coming up first, news that broke yesterday was a development in the Judge Hannah Dugan case, I guess you could say. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has decided to suspend Judge Hannah Dugan after her federal charges. And so it seems like this is what I read. This is administrative. This is not punitive.
It's also the right thing to do.
It's also the right thing to do. It was already announced that there was going to be a reserve judge taking on her cases. That was announced by the Chief Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Carl Ashley. And so it's been interesting to, as this story has obviously been a national story since it happened on Friday. And I feel like it is a prime example of you don't always need to be the first person to put your opinion out and your like hot take.
Yeah.
Because this happened right before we went on air on Friday, and we addressed it with Bill and Joe, and then we kind of moved on. And it took me until after the show to start trying to understand and wrap my head around what was in the complaint, what we knew about it. And yet there was a lot of gut reactions, I think, from, let's just say, partisans. And now it feels like we're in a situation where two things can be true. That on the one hand, as we've talked to Judge Mary Kunmensch on Monday and other people who I've talked to who are either lawyers or know the law, who have read that complaint and thought, yeah, like this doesn't look good. Like she definitely is not in the right.
No.
Like black, objectively. And the other thing that can also be true is the theatrics around her arrest. The fact that Kash Patel, I think, broke like FBI protocol by tweeting out a picture of her in handcuffs.
Right.
Pam Bondi having the remarks that she has on Fox News, like, can also be interpreted as intimidation tactics. Like,
yeah.
Both of these things can be true at the same time.
It's part of the Trump world, the telling of the story. They like to do it real time, real life, live, and they tweet this stuff out. They post this stuff. They issue communications, which I read every day from the White House communications office. They want to tell the story, and this is one of those sort of flashpoint stories. Here's what we're doing. We're going after people, including, in this case, a judge who sort of made it easy for an individual to sort of skirt, mm-hmm. at least try to skirt the federal authorities. So that's the interesting piece of this. So there can be a little bit of truth in both sides, but I think most people who have sort of talked about this now with some level of knowledge, experience, expertise, have said this is a judge who has been known on occasion to go too far or to say things that maybe a judge shouldn't be saying. That would be my take on it.
Yeah, but I mean, it is a story that requires nuance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that is I am personally happy. I didn't immediately have a social media take that put my, you know, stake in the ground as far as this is where I stand, because I think it was something that as you get more information, it becomes a grayer issue. But it's hard not to at least be like, what does this mean? Because we talked about it with Matt on Monday, right? As far as the publicity around her arrest being, like I said, an intimidation tactic, as there is now conflating directives for other state employees around whether or not to comply with ICE or to listen to the governor and say, get your lawyer there, talk to your supervisor before you actually cooperate.
The message from the Trump administration, and that's all the people that work for the president and all the various agencies, especially when you're talking about law enforcement, is we're not putting up with sanctuary, whatever you want to define, however you define that. We're not putting up with people sort of skirting the law or ignoring the laws. The laws will be enforced. That's what the Trump administration is saying. This is a direct byproduct of that effort to sort of, I don't know, cleanse the palate, I guess, of all the things that we've sort of absolved communities from doing in the past when it comes to people who are here illegally. We've sort of, as I've said over and over again, we've skirted this issue for three decades. Now it's sort of this president with a mandate, he says, from the American public in the last election in November. We're fixing this. And right now, I'd say it's about a 50-50 toss-up on how the public views this. It's like 52-48. So I just saw a poll that popped up on this. So, yeah, it's not 100%, certainly. You're never going to get that. But it's about a 50-50 toss-up on where this administration is going on this issue.
Has the administration... And this is a true question. Has the administration proposed anything as far as actually fixing the immigration process? Do they have a bill or a policy, like what they want to have Congress
That's
do?
That's a million-dollar question, and I have not seen that.
I have not seen that either.
And then that's also the role of Congress.
No, I know, yeah. But that doesn't mean that the administration wouldn't have ideas on how to fix the immigration system.
Well, the administration has a lot of ideas, but there is a process that we sort of forgotten
concepts
about.
Concepts of a plan?
Yeah, concepts of a plan, as the current president said.
All right, we got to move on.
We got to get to break.
All right, when we come back, we will be talking to Stephanie Hauser, who is the executive director of the WIAA, about name, image, and likeness for high school athletes. So stay with us on Point Taken. Honoring those who dedicate their lives to keeping us safe, WTMJ is highlighting first responders who went above and beyond this past year through Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank. You can nominate your first responder now at WTMJ.com or the WTMJ mobile app. Nomination period is now open through May 9th. Finalists will be recognized during Hero Week, May 19th through May 23rd. Help us tell your stories. WTMJ's Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service.
Thank you
presented
for doing
by Waterstone Bank. You yeah. almost cut off the
I know.
Most important part.
And Waterstone Bank's been there for years now, and I love those guys. And they will be part of our presentation process in our Hero Week, Honor Week. Next week on the program, probably in the latter hour, we're going to play our five honorees, at least an interview or a feature from last year, just sort of get the enthusiasm up. I need nominations, and it's really simple. Go to the website, as you said, Salute the Service. There's a banner. Click on it. The form's right there. I don't need a lot. Name, who are you nominating, why you're nominating, where they work, maybe a contact, email, or phone. I'll do the rest, maybe a short little depiction of why you're doing this. Already have an amazing story from Milwaukee Fire Department. I'm almost sure is going to be one of our five. It's an amazing story of recovery and healing after an injury. So help me do this. And thanks again to the great folks at Waterstone Bank. All right, we got a great interview. She was here 2 months ago. Stephanie Hauser, you were from the WIAA Executive Director two months ago?
I would say it was right at the start of our winter tournament. So about two months ago, exactly. And hey, before we lose that last thought, Heroes Among Us. I mean, what an amazing notion. Thanks for doing that.
Absolutely.
That's so well needed.
I just love doing it. It's, I always, people ask me, like, do you ever get tired? It's like inspirational because every story is different. And I've told probably, I don't know, 50 stories, not 50, but 30 stories or 35. It's just, they're all unique. And I had a husband and wife team last year. It was just like so cool to bring them together. And the amazing thing about it, not to get too far off what we're going to talk to you about. They're all, you have to like pull it out of them. They don't want to talk about their stories. They're like so humble. But when you get it out of them, and that usually involves a longer conversation, like off mic, then it's like it just comes out of them. So they're ready to tell the story. You just got to.
And we don't talk about it enough. And you're right. It fills up your tank. So thank you for taking the opportunity to highlight those.
All right. Well, let's get to the point of what we want to talk to you about today. Big news. Wisconsin and the WIAA has decided to join the ranks of what is it? Are we the 41st state now that has decided that high school students can also now engage in NIL, name, image, likeness? I know last year this was up for a vote and it failed, but then on Friday it passed. And so I think for a lot of us who have seen, heard numbers, talked about the portal, and we've seen what's happened in NC2A, there's still a lot of storytelling of what this is going to look like for high school students. So I guess out of the gate, what can they now do starting in May? What can high school athletes now do that they couldn't do this last season?
Well, thank you for prefacing it with the reality, because the whole term name, image, likeness just brings angst.
Yeah.
It makes people real edgy and nervous to hear it because they have seen what has transpired at the collegiate level. So let's go back a year. You are correct. The membership did fail that proposal a year ago. It was a fairly close vote, 45% to 55%. But again, the number of high school state associations from just 1 year ago has grown by about 10. I think we were right around 30 last year when our membership said, no, we're not ready for this yet. And you're right. We're at like 40, 41 state associations now. And so that is the growing trend across the nation. The key piece to know is that although students will be able to capitalize, gain financially on their name, image, and likeness, Wisconsin, like many other state associations, has put up guardrails to really try to preserve and protect what we know as amateur athletics and high school education-based athletics.
Walk us through those. What are those guardrails?
Some of the biggest things that you'll see as a difference from what you're seeing happen in the collegiate level is, number one, high school has rules about undue influence in recruiting. It's not allowed. Our membership agrees that they will not recruit students away from each other. You see, quite frankly, with that and the transfer portal at the college level, that's exactly what's happening. High school also has transfer rules in order to preserve it truly to be education-based, school-based, community-based. There are rules about transferring schools that are very strict in comparison to what's allowed at the college level. Quite frankly, kids can go wherever they want to at the college mm-hmm. level now. I think the third key piece that is different is that at the high school level, boosters, alumni, people who are directly connected with schools cannot be involved in offering NIL deals to high school students. And at the collegiate level, we've seen just exactly the opposite. Mm-hmm. Collectives, boosters putting their money together to make offers to kids to, again, pull them away from somewhere else, come over by us because we can give you more. That's not going to be allowed at the high school level.
So what is a use case of a current high school athlete taking advantage of this opportunity now? Like, what does that even look like?
Well, the reality of the data across America is telling us that this is really only going to apply to probably about one in every 100 high school student athletes. Most businesses will tell you there's not a big return on their investment to have a high school athlete endorsing your business.
Yeah.
They'd rather donate to the school district because they know what kind of impact that has within their community. So we're talking about a very, very small number of student athletes. It'll be just as simple as this. If I have a craft, Stephanie Hauser, and I'm very good at teaching the game of basketball, now someone can hire me to use my craft, and they can pay me to do it, even though I'm still in high school. That was not currently allowed in the past because it directly tied to your athletic ability.
If the student now can benefit or will benefit from NIL, does the district and the school itself, the school proper, also benefit, or is it just a either or situation?
It's an absolutely or.
It is.
The
okay.
The school cannot be involved in any way, shape, or form in the student securing an NIL deal or being part of it. In fact, the student cannot use anything affiliated with that school, their conference with the WIAA, to represent themselves either. And that's for the protection of the student athlete themselves. If I put on, a jersey from my local high school and I'm going to get some type of personal gain, at one point is that local high school going to say, what's our piece?
Yeah. That's what I was wondering, because, I mean, there is that sort of crossover. They're known because they play for that school, mm-hmm. but you can't really identify the school. It's the person, their face, their image.
So this is going to allow a student athlete at the high school level that has a specialized talent in athletics to gain, just like another student that's walking down the halls of their high school that may be able to gain because they are exceptional at performing arts or, you know, have an artistic craft that they are allowed to then sell one of their photos to a local magazine to put on the cover because they're so talented. A student athlete would not be able to do something very similar to that.
What is the social media part of all of this? Because I feel like a lot of what the stars of the NC2A, like Paige Buchers, who just went, she has like something like 3 million followers across all of her platforms. And so I think when I think of some of the student athletes in college, they also have these huge social media followings that get leveraged in some of these NIL deals with brands. Is that part of this as far as, because there's obviously a lot of thoughts and feelings around social media and youth right now.
Hold your thought on that, because we got to get to break here. It's 10:25 roughly. Yeah, that's called the tease in the radio business. Stephanie Hauser, Executive Director, WIAA. Kristen, Steve, point taken on 620 WTMJ. Oh, it's point taken on this hump day edition. For all you kids out there, it's Wednesday. I love doing that joke, even though no one laughs at it.
Hump day?
Hump day! No one calls it hump day anymore, which is sad to me.
I think a lot of people call it hump
really?
Day.
Really?
Yes.
No one ever says
I
happy hump day to me.
Most radio shows have that Geico commercial on like a hot button.
They do it, I don't care. We're doing it. That's what I'm saying. Kristen Bry, Steve Scafidi, our special guest for the next few minutes. Stephanie Hauser, Executive Director, WIAA. I left you hanging. You were ready to answer the question that we threw at you, which I've completely forgotten already.
Of course. the social media and the role it's going to play with NIL and high school students is basically what I was asking before the break.
And again, there are 40 other states that have kind of led the way on this. The data that they have collected is showing that that actually is the area where most kids are likely to get an NIL deal because they've grown a very large influencer crowd.
Yeah.
And so we anticipate that a lot of these kids will get approached through their DMs and really important that their parents understand that that's likely how they're going to get contacted because ultimately high school eligibility responsibility lies on the student, athlete, and their parents to make sure that they do know and understand the rules. Their athletic director is a resource for them, and so it is going to be really important if kids are approached through those social medias that they make sure their parents and their athletic director are aware.
Are there going to be like agents or managers or any groups helping parents navigate this?
Students are not allowed to secure an agent for the purposes of anything in high school related to their athletics, including NIL. But they absolutely can seek legal counsel if needed to make sure that an agreement that they're going to enter into is sound and appropriate for that student.
Yeah, it's going to be a work in progress. You have to figure it out. That goes for the WIAA and for the parents and the kids. But ultimately, I think it might be a good benefit for some kids, and hopefully it goes well. All right, got some more questions for our guest, Stephanie Hauser, Executive Director, WIAA, who will be a guest on my podcast, by the way, coming up in the near future. Kristen Bry, Steve, it is Wednesday. All right, celebrating Wednesday. We got a great guest this hour. She is from the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. WIAA, as they call it, which is a lot easier for all of us. Stephanie Hauser, Executive Director. You had a little piece of information for all those listening about the NIL and where folks can get some more information if they have questions.
Absolutely. We'll tie this into the importance that parents and student athletes need to be informed about this new information. So the WIAA website has a page of eligibility, and there is all kinds of information on there about the new NIL language. There's also a Q&A that's being collected, and that's being updated daily right now. So please refer you to the website. Be educated, and when in doubt, just go to your local athletic director. They are your best resource to make sure that you understand this new rule.
ADs are amazing. They do a lot of things because I know a bunch of them, and they juggle like all these different things they have to do, including scheduling referees on some occasions if they don't have some staff to do that. So they are a good resource for any question about any of that stuff. This is a big one. You and I talked about this last time you were on, right? Open records is a very hot button topic. We want to know what you're up to, and that goes for governmental agencies, elected officials, and in your case, an attempt to find out what the WIAA is up to as far as their communications. But as you reminded me last time, or at least informed me, you're a private organization. You don't take public money, correct?
Correct. I think that is probably one of the biggest head scratchers. Most people hear WIAA and they automatically make assumptions. And one of those is that we are not private, that we are tied directly to government. WIAA is a private, not-for-profit association made up of member schools, both public and private. 16% of the membership is private schools who voluntarily belong to the association. WIAA does not take any federal, state tax dollars. We, in fact, don't even take dues for our member schools. So there is no direct money that comes in from our schools paying the WIAA to belong to the association. Almost 85% of the WIAA's annual revenue comes from ticket sales for regional, sectional, state championships.
And typically in the past, those statements you just made would exclude you from open records, public records legislation. But as we're finding out, as we're reading some of the things about this story, that's not the case. The legislature are looking into, and private citizens in some cases are asking for access to your communications. You're going to be testifying this week on this subject. What are you going to tell them?
I think we'll start with some of the facts we just talked about. I would say that there probably are a lot of legislators in Madison that really don't know that about the WIAA. So I think getting facts in front of them is the first most important piece. And then the second question that I always ask people is, well, what is it that you're looking for that you don't already have access to? As I said, our website is public facing. The vast majority anyone in the world can get if they want to. In fact, our annual meeting, which was our biggest democratic process that we have, was held last Friday in Stevens Point. Our members were invited to come in person, but it was live streamed publicly. Mm-hmm. Anyone could watch that. So again, our 513 member schools have access to all of the WIAA business, and anybody that would like that information can already get it from those members.
So then I guess the flip side of that is like, well, if you're already being this transparent, what's the problem with having access to public records? And so is it a matter of not because you are a nonprofit having the resources available to provide that? Or what is that? What burden would that provide for you guys versus the transparency you already provide?
Well, you referenced one piece of it. Sure. That's an additional burden that our staff of 20 will be a heavy load to carry. We represent over 70,000 student athletes and their families. As many of us know, athletics is a highly emotional topic. So we do think there would be a pretty significant burden that would come with those requests. But more importantly, I really believe it's just the philosophical application of open records to a private mm-hmm. institution, to a private association. What's next? Who's next? If I'm another private association out there and I hear this, I'd be concerned. I believe it starts a slippery slope.
It's a fundamental change in the way we've done things in the past, and it opens up all kinds of problems for
organizations. Is there a lot of energy behind it, from what you can tell? It's obviously been introduced, but is there...
That I don't know. Okay. I don't know how much energy is behind it, but certainly we take it seriously. And so each time it is introduced, which it was 1 year ago as well, we went and testified, you know, in opposition to it, and some others did as well. And I expect there'll be some others tomorrow that will also testify in opposition to it. Again, I think the biggest concern is the slippery slope that it begins. Where does that stop?
Yeah, absolutely.
Stephanie Hauser, Executive Director of WIAA. We're going to take another quick break. One last segment. I got some questions that relate to NIL. I want to throw those at you because they're good questions. And anything else on your mind? 855-616-1620. The Deciding Unlimited. WTMJ. Talking text line. Point taken. PT, Kristen, Steve, 620 WTMJ. Thanks for tuning in on this Hump Day edition, Kristen and Steve, on the Point Taken program, 10 to 12 weekdays right here on WTMJ. Don't forget it. You need to listen podcast.
Drops tomorrow.
Which is outstanding. We talked about the Pope and the passing of Pope Francis and a lot of things that are related to that storyline. So it's a really good one. When we walk out of
there.
Faith, yeah, our
church.
Faith. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I learned the last time you went to church.
Yes, not that long ago, which is a good thing. All right, Stephanie Hauser, our guest, Executive Director, WIAA. A question I want to ask you real quick. Some texters, I'm paraphrasing, are concerned that if you have NILs for individuals, that you sort of destroy the team unity concepts. I don't know. I mean, there's already jealousy in sports because one kid's better than the other kid, I guess. That's part
Why
of it, right?
Why isn't my kid starting?
Yeah, that's a big one.
Playing time, all conference awards, all district awards, all state awards. Could this be one more thing that kids get jealous about or frustrated about? Certainly it could be. I hope that, you know, this falls in line with those other types of accolades. Some of the better players will just likely receive more attention than others. It's kind of a fact of life.
Yeah.
Sports is not always fair.
No, life's not fair.
And sometimes you just don't have, there's other kids. That's one of the great equalizers of, not equalizers, but like the realities of sports is that at some point you're going to run into, you're not the best anymore, whether that's at the high school
level
or the college level or the NBA level, and whether it's because you get too old or you're not good enough. There's just like, that is the reality of it. And you have to, as an athlete, come to terms with that.
If you allow me just for one moment, sure, I'm heading over to an event tonight, a Manitowoc County Hall of Fame, and I'm the keynote for that event. And the theme of my address is not everything you need to know about life you learned in kindergarten, but everything you need to know about life you learned in athletics.
Yeah.
And you hit on all of those things. Life isn't fair. Sometimes people are better than you are at certain things.
And sometimes you have a career-ending injury in high school and you don't come back from, like, there's just a lot of things, but it's like, this is what I love about sports and the character building of it, mm-hmm. is it teaches you resiliency.
Absolutely. And hopefully they have great coaches and great supporting system that can help guide them into those life lessons.
Yeah. All right. So this is something I'm passionate about. I just said what sports have meant to me, what it's meant to my family. And I feel like when it comes to women in sports, the last handful of years, the conversation has been dominated by trans athletes. And I feel like it's so often we then forget about all of the other aspects of supporting and advocating for girls in sports. And like, this is the one issue when there's so many others. And so when it comes to your position, as far as advocating and supporting girls sports, what else do you think we could be doing and focused on?
Well, again, back to the beauty of being part of a private organization, our 513 member schools drive the bus. They really tell us where the growth they'd like to see. And so recently our membership proposed the addition of a new sport, girls wrestling.
Nice.
And over the past 3 years, that has absolutely exploded. So we have progressed to thousands of female wrestlers to the point where this year, for the first time, there was a team championship awarded. And it has just, like I said, grown exponentially. So we are always exploring new opportunities to bring to not just just the girls, but to all of our student athletes. Last year, boys and girls lacrosse was added as a brand new WIA sanctioned sport. And we're seeing awesome growth in that sport as well. So always looking for new opportunities to find those kids that haven't found their niche. Because again, talking about life lessons that athletics teaches, it's a way of connecting kids to their school. So if there are new opportunities out there that can connect a young lady or a young man to their school in a new way, it's going to help them succeed. And we're all about helping them find those opportunities.
I love talking about my high school. I graduated from Oak Creek. We've had...
What was your sport?
Basketball and baseball.
Is that why you think you can beat me in horse?
I probably can beat you in horse. I have a very good three-point shot. Anyway.
I might be able to beat both of you.
Yes. You might be able to beat both of us. Well, there's not many women that I could look eye to eye in. So when you walked in today, I was like,
"You got kids playing in the NBA for Pete's sake. You got an advantage to us." All right, some quick love from the text line. Great job, Stephanie, WIAA official for 50 years. Bill from Oshkosh. Great job.
Thank you, Bill from Oshkosh. How about that? And thank you for being a WIAA official for 50 years.
Imagine the stories he could tell, Bill from Oshkosh, because I've been around that stuff. It's interesting in sports. You wanted to just sort of hit on a couple points before we let you get out of here on some of the things you're working on, some of the distinctions about why you are a private organization. So hit on those quickly.
As just mentioned, our members make the decisions. We have an elected board of control and then again an opportunity at an annual meeting for all of the schools to come forth and cast their vote on what amendments they'd like to see and what changes they'd like to see for the organization. Again, commonly misunderstood, the WIAA is not part of the government. Our 20 employees are not part of the Wisconsin retirement system. We do not take any federal or state tax dollars. We are revenue driven by ticket sales, people coming to watch and support their local kids playing for regional, sectional, and state championships. And so we do operate as a private association. And again, those are pieces that we understand we have to continue to educate each year. Each year you have a group of seniors that graduate, a new group of freshmen that come in, and so you have a whole new group of parents that really don't know much about the WIAA. So we do understand that this is a process that is ongoing to help people understand what WIAA is, and sometimes more importantly, what it is not.
When's the Celtics' next game?
Well, they closed out the series last night, uh-huh. So they get a mini break. You're asking a mom an embarrassing question. I don't know when their next game is.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm not sure if they know their opponent yet. So.
You don't go to all the games.
Oh, no.
No, weekend games probably, maybe.
On occasion. We did go to game four in Orlando on Sunday night.
How cool is that?
Very cool.
Because that's a unique experience to have a child, your
Who's
son.
Who's got a ring? There's an NBA ring. Championship ring.
Yeah, do you put the ring on?
I tried it on once. It's huge. There's only one word to describe it as a parent. It's surreal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephanie Hauser, we're going to talk on the podcast at some point in the near future. She's the executive director, WIAA. Thanks for spending some time. A lot of important topics. Some of them need to touch on politics. Love the fact that you're willing to come in and have those conversations. Chris and Steve will wrap up the 10 o'clock hour. Lots to come, including the re-debut of Ask Us Anything. That's coming up in 11 o'clock hour. Lots of fun on 620 WTMJ. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Point taken with Kristen and Steve on this Wednesday. Little personal announcement. My buddy Don had open heart surgery this morning, and I just heard from his wife by text. Came out, everything went well. He's
that's
doing
a relief.
Well. God, that's a big relief because I know that they were sweating that, and you know, anytime you open a chest, it's going to be, you know, for lack of a better term, life or death. And thankfully, he's doing well. So quick recovery, so we can get you back on the golf course. Smoke, not probably not smoking cigars anymore, but I'll be smoking cigars. You probably won't be. So good luck on the recovery to my friend Don, and we're all cheering you on for a quick and happy recovery. He did well this morning. All right, so we got to get questions.
We got to get questions. We got three so far.
Oh, we did. I didn't see those.
Well, that's why I'm in charge of copying and pasting them, so they don't get lost in the text line.
There
but
we
are bringing back. It was.
Ask Steve
anything.
Yes.
But now that there's two of us, it's Ask Us Anything. 855-616-1620. We're going to do that at 11:15. And as many questions as we have, that's how long we'll answer them. And there's other topics. There's always more stuff to talk about. Obviously, President Trump had a rally last night.
He's got a cabinet meeting going on right now.
Our neighbor state, he gave a hug. Did you hear that? That there was a hug between him and Governor Whitmer?
Well, here's what I like about that story. They don't agree on anything politically for the most part, other than, you know, you have to have a government in both states and the country. But they found some common ground, and that's funding for something that was important in Michigan.
This is maybe a stupid question. Do you think he's hugged a male governor?
I don't see Trump doing that.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, I literally just thought of that. It's like, oh, is it like instead of a handshake, even a warm handshake with someone that he gets along with, that's a Republican governor or a Republican senator, is it because? And I feel like if it was two women, the likelihood of a hug is higher. Mm-hmm. It's a woman and a man higher. Two male elected officials, how often do you see them hug?
Not very often.
Not very often.
No. Like a bro hug?
I guess.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking about that as the fact that they actually hugged. It's like, oh, that's
awesome. I think Trump's a handshake guy because doesn't he put the lock on and bring him in? Yeah. I mean, that's his thing. It's his branding.
Yeah. I don't know.
But did she lean in for the hug?
I don't know. I have to go see the video. I just read about that. There was a hug.
All right, so get those questions in, 855-616-1620, siding unlimited talk and text line. We'll do that at about 11:15. If we get good questions, we'll wrap it through the top of the hour. Lots more to talk about on this Wednesday edition. As always, thanks for being here for us. We've gotten great feedback on the show. Thanks to all of you. I try to answer as many of those emails as I can. I can't do them all, but I try. If you have a question specifically, I try to answer the question. And yes, Kristen is nice. She's easy to work with. She's a very pleasant person. They don't ask those kind of questions.
Okay.
All right. We're going to break a break for local news, but lots more to get to. We'll do it after this on 620 WTMJ.
Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bry.
That's my cue. Kristen Bry alongside Point Taken, PT, as I like to call it, and you can refer to it as PT. We're going to have shirts made up and everything.
What is your attachment to PT?
I like the shortness of it.
Okay.
Easy.
PT. PT.
Not physical therapy.
Scafidi and Bry.
Yeah.
Brian Scafidi.
Doesn't sound as good that way. Do you agree or no?
I don't care. We had this conversation once. It's like, is it an antiquated thing to be invested in whose name comes first? Or do you think that still holds water?
Is it antiquated?
Yeah. That used to be like, I feel like that when you talk of like partnership shows, whose name comes first. And like, that's just something I've never cared about. And I don't know if that's a reflection of my age or my attitude.
I don't know the answer to that question. But I will tell you that if you listen to when I come out of the breaks, I often say your name first. Because I think it's interesting to sort of
juxtaposition.
Yeah, it's a hard word for me to say.
Yeah, I have a lot of words that I stumble over. So
I'm not going to say that word ever again on the air because I cannot say that. I'll have to practice it. All right, so we have questions coming in all over the board on our Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talking Text Line because we're going to ask us anything in a moment here. But we wanted to focus sort of a topical way to sort of lead into that. And one of the questions was, and you have it in front of you.
I have it in front of me. So someone, hope you talk about the fact-checking Trump's economic comments, both in his interview and Michigan rally. And so, yes, in fact, there was a rally last night in Michigan as far as 100 days of the Trump administration. And where is that? We're going to play a little bit of it right now. Oh.
Illegal immigration. We're taking back our jobs and protecting our great American auto workers and all of our workers, frankly. We're ending the inflation nightmare, the worst that we've had probably in the history of our country, getting woke lunacy and transgender insanity the hell out of our government.
So, yeah, so he...
He's all over the place on that one.
Yes, talked about his tariff plan and had a lot of other thoughts. And so I looked up some of the fact-checking that happened. So immediately out of the gate, he said that he won Michigan three times. He did not.
He just makes stuff up.
He did lose Michigan in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
He claimed that 87%, there was an 87% decrease in the price of eggs, and gas is below $2 a gallon in three states. Gas is not below $2 in any state,
right?
Apparently. And then it has fallen. The price of eggs has fallen by about 50% since he took office. But the retail price of eggs increased between January and March. He's talking about ending birthright citizenship. That is still in court. So far, it is blocked. It is still intact.
Most of the major things that have those sort of fundamental constitutional questions about are all being challenged.
Yeah. And so that actually is going to be in May. That's reached the Supreme Court.
Oral arguments.
Are happening in May for the birthright citizenship.
As far where I think Trump is right, if as someone who is not a Trump supporter, I think he has won the PR battle on illegal people coming across the border. Undocumented, whatever term you want to use, because he has slowed it down. I gave the number.
You were talking about yesterday?
Yesterday, Monday? Day before. I mean, it went from 100,000 plus or more to in the teens or sometimes even less than 10,000. That's a win. So you've slowed that. Now, how you do that what we'll find out later is how many resources, how much money is gone to do that. Because all we're being told is we're saving all this money from DOGE, but I don't think that's materialized yet. So. The president loves these speeches because they're campaign speeches, even though he's already president. Even though he can't really run for president again, and I've already said I think the next Trump that runs for president is going to be one of his kids. He loves this stuff. This is his bread and butter, meat and potatoes. This is what he loves to do.
You know what's kind of interesting? I just made this connection. So someone on the text line thanked you for the recommendation of going to see the Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
And I saw it too with my mom. And
it was sensational.
It's excellent. And one of the things in that storyline about Neil Diamond is that in the beginning of the program, he writes a letter to the audience as far as the show and the development of the show. And he's like, I would have performed live till the day I died. And it's only Parkinson's that has kept me from being on stage. And so much of that story is the two kind of personalities he had, who was on stage and him in real life. And it kind of reminds me of this, of like Trump loving an audience and will do this and this kind of the lights, the applause, all of that, and like how much he feeds into that and how much it gives him. And who knows how much like the actual job feeds him, but it's just an interesting comparison.
Yeah. And I will both compliment him and cut him down in the same sentence. He's brilliant at it, but he's also full of nonsense in the way that he speaks. He doesn't have a clear train of thought. It's not common sense. It's not logical. It's like this weird circular file of nonsense. He makes stuff up. He deliberately misstates things that he says are facts that are not facts, and you can fact check him forever. And if he gets to 25% correct, I'd be surprised. But he owns that sort of idea of how this is how you approach elections now. So somebody asked me the other day, I think it was an email, are we going to see more and more of this? Yeah, probably.
More and more what? Just
of this kind of
making things up, or just the facts that I want to state them as they are.
He said it in a book. I don't know which one of his books he said it in. Basically, whatever the facts are, we say the opposite if it suits our interests. And I'm paraphrasing the author. That's what he does. We make the facts fit. Well, I can't talk today. We make the facts fit our case. And that's sort of his game plan. But the question that the emailer was asking me was sort of celebrity, entertainer, magician, / elected official. And anybody out here think we're not going to have more of that stuff? We're certainly going to. We're going to have actors and actresses running for president. All that stuff's going to happen. Hopefully not more reality TV stars. That would be a no for me. That's a no for
me, dog.
So are
you more against reality TV stars than you are against actors running for office?
Other than Reagan?
Is there any prominent actor?
You know who could run for office and even might win? Clooney? Maybe. If he wants to, he probably doesn't want to. Like, why would you screw that life up?
I know.
Why would you want?
Looks terrible with the black hair right now.
Well, he's playing a role.
I know. I'm just saying.
Edward R. Murrow.
I know. I would go see that. That and Glengarry Glen Ross, that's on Broadway right now with this all-star cast.
Interesting that we have the same play recommendations. I want to see both of those.
I want to see both of those.
I wonder if my wife, Kathy, will take
Should
me
we
to New York.
Should we do a group trip to New York?
That would be cool. That would be cool.
All right. When we come back, ask us anything. We already have about we had a handful of good questions here to get us through. But if you would like to ask Steve something, if you'd like to ask me something, 855-616-1620, you can text in. Or we are now, the phone lines are open. If you would like to call, producer Jazz will answer the phone. And my first time of Ask Me Anything.
Congratulations.
Thanks. All right. Stay with us on Point Taken on WTMJ.
Now it's time for Ask Us Anything on Point Taken. Got a burning question? Give us a call or text on the Siding Unlimited Talk and Text line at 855-616-1620.
Nice open. Good job, Jazz. I like it.
Producer Jazz, she's on fire today. Yes. Love it.
All right. So, yes, a new weekly Wednesday segment, Ask Us Anything.
And they're coming in fast.
Do you think
this
is a little narcissistic to think that people are just dying for our opinions on things?
They do want our opinions. That's
I know,
why
there
are
a lot of questions already.
That's why we have a show.
I feel like this is why I've never done this, because I'm like, no one cares.
They do care.
Apparently they do care.
And they're all over the board. There's everything from gardening to Bucks to politics to, you know, everything. Buckies.
Everything. Buckies. Should we ask? Start with the most personal one?
Yes.
Steve, boxers or briefs?
Ooh. what do you think? What am I going to say? Which B word am I going to say?
I don't know.
Briefs. Yeah. I used to wear boxers.
I'm surprised you answered that one. I thought you said no personal questions.
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
All right.
I'm going to weigh whether I want to answer those personal questions.
All right. So I haven't been copying and pasting these so we don't lose track of them. Do we have a caller already?
We do. Let me go to, actually, Jazz, bring in Joan. Is it Joan from Greenfield?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, you guys. Hey, I really enjoy the two of you together.
Well, thank you.
I believe I align more with Steve, but hey, I enjoy the way you two interact.
Good.
Kristen, you give him, you're a good match for him.
I like that. I think, you know, it's like sometimes we gotta temper each other.
Yeah.
What's your question, Joan?
Well, it has to do, okay, this isn't fun, but it has to do with, okay, this lead paint thing in the Milwaukee Public Schools. And I'm not being facetious, but is it only the Milwaukee Public Schools that have old school buildings that had this paint? Maybe I don't understand the full issue, because I understand that children, you know, some children eat paint, and that's where they get a lot of their lead, if there's lead paint. But what, I mean, why is it only focused on Milwaukee Public Schools? Where are the children getting the lead exposure? Just from the painting on the walls?
Yeah, let me answer that, John. And first of all, thanks for the nice compliments and thanks for listening. I'll let you hang up and listen to the answer. So here's the danger. There's lead paint in a lot of old buildings in Milwaukee. It's not exclusive to schools. But the problem is exposure to that lead. And it's not just the paint. Consuming paint is a problem for young children. It's the dust that has the lead in it from the paint that's chipping off the walls. It's all of that. That's why it's so critical. And we know now from science and research, which I know is a dirty words for some people now, that has serious impact on the cognitive and the brains of young people, their abilities to comprehend and learn and be educated. And I do think there's a cause effect to that storyline, which should have been fixed. You and I talked about this decades ago, that we're still talking about this.
Well, that's also the fact of, and I don't know, for the schools specifically, I don't know what's happening between the lead lateral, so the actual pipes, there are bringing water into the schools, because it's certainly still a problem with the lead laterals in Milwaukee. And this is also, I remember Katie Rosenberg, when the former mayor of Wausau, there was she had an effort before she was, someone else won her the last mayor
Katie
race.
Katie Rosenberg.
But, you know, in a lot of the older communities across Wisconsin, when there was still lead pipes, when they were building different neighborhoods, there was an effort, and it's expensive, to replace those, right? I know Madison took care of that almost immediately as they started to understand that this was a problem. And so decades ago, they replaced them. It has been a long effort to make that the case in Milwaukee and in other communities. But if you imagine, it disproportionately affects poorer communities as far as the ability to pay to replace some of these pipes. Now, what I don't understand with the school situation is which part, is it more of the lead pipe situation? Or like you said, is it old buildings with paint that's chipping off and the dust and everything?
It's a combo platter. And I think we don't know, like, you know, which is more or which is less. I this, look, I'll say it. This should have been fixed years ago, and I think racism plays a role in this. Honestly, I do. Or urbanism versus ruralism. It should have been fixed. There's no reason why we're in with all the research, all the technology, that this couldn't have been fixed a long time ago. And it's sad that it exists. And we're still talking about it. That being said, I'm encouraged by the conduct of the new Milwaukee public school superintendent. She's on this.
Well, as someone who would like to send her daughter to MPS schools, I am obviously very concerned about this issue.
All right. We got a lot of questions on the text line. We got some callers as well. 855-616-1620. Ask us anything on this Wednesday edition of Point Taken PT. Chris and Steve right here on 620 WTMJ.
All right. A whole day dedicated to us? No. Dedicated to you, the WTMJ listener. Come celebrate WTMJ Day with us, your favorite WTMJ host. We're going to have a private tailgate at the Brewers game on Saturday, May 17th. So that is less than a month away. Enjoy food, drinks, and hanging out with us. Plus, tickets to the Brewers game as they take on the Twins at AmFam Field. Get more information and secure your tickets at WTMJday.com. Tickets are going to go fast, so sign up today. We'll see you at the ballpark for WTMJ Day, Saturday, May 17th, sponsored by Woodman's. You think
coming
we're just going to have, like, groceries galore at the tailgate from Woodman's?
I'm looking forward to it. I think I love these listeners. I would literally do a remote every week if we had someone have us come out. I love remotes. You always meet the most interesting people. You listen to what they have to say about the show and how we do it, the show, and the questions they have. It's fascinating. You've done them. I mean, they're just interesting way. I did the bike expo.
I love doing it in person. Like, yeah. The extrovert in me, I love doing live events.
So for all those future partners out there of WTMJ, here's your opportunity. We'd come out and do a show from somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's do it. We got this beautiful summer ahead of us.
Got the Pella Windows and Doors mobile studio.
For example, I could see us out on the lakefront somewhere, like at a Colectivos, looking at the lakefront. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. All right, where do you want to start? We got a lot. We got this.
I'm going
to
let you pick. This is your first one.
I was like, we're really going to get that many questions? I don't even know if we're going to get to all of them.
We're not going to get to
all of them. Because there's way more than I expected. Where do we want to start? Do you want to start with, like, personal stuff? Do you want to start with...
You pick. I don't care.
Here, Stephen Kristen, would you rather have a budget surplus, fix every lead line in the state, or get a $20 tax cut? I would say the fix every lead line in
Absolutely.
The state. I don't really care about...
Keep my $20.
Like, I feel like for me, and this is probably why it not shocking that I am... I've been called an unhinged liberal. Whether that's fair or not, I don't know. But I think for me, I am of the mindset, like my husband and I, the tax bracket that we're in, we definitely pay more taxes than many. But to me, that is the price of living in a society where we take care of each other. And so, like, I am fine. As long as we know that we feel like there's responsible spending with our tax cut, like our tax spending, that is what the role of government is. And to pay as little in taxes as possible is not necessarily being a good citizen, but some people might call me crazy for that.
Look, I've written a check to the federal government for like the last 20 years, Kathy and I, so I'd like to not pay that much, but I get how
the thing
works.
Especially with the federal government is I feel like there is, I wish, this is a pipe dream, but don't you wish you could like check off what your taxes were going to?
Yeah.
Right? As far as like, all right, I'm handing you this for X amount of thousands of dollars. This is what I want it to go to. I want it to go to public schools, or I want it to go to roads, or I want it to go to people's health care, and have some input on where it's going. And obviously we do that by proxy of electing the people that we do, but it doesn't feel like we necessarily get the return of what we're spending.
True. That would be nice. This is where my money went. Every dollar, and this is where what it funded. All right, we got local news coming up with Connie Weber. We got a caller, Steve from my favorite city of Oak Creek. He's got a question about the show. And keep the questions coming. Simple way to do it, 855-616-1620, Saturday Unlimited, WTMJ Talk and Text Line. So local news with Connie Weber. And then don't forget your questions. We will do our best to answer them in the remaining half hour. Here's the latest now from ABC News.
It's Point Taken with Steve and Kristen, and we are doing our inaugural Ask Us Anything, and we have so many questions. I'm not sure we're going to get to all of them, so if we don't answer your question, I will try to answer, at least in the text line. But Steve has been waiting patiently on the phone.
Yeah, let's go to Steve calling from my favorite city of Oak Creek. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, and my question is, would you like to hear a new introductory announcement for this Point Taken show?
Let's be careful.
Oh, I know this, Steve.
All right, so
this is the other Steve from Oak Creek. I met him at
So, are you going to play something?
No, I'm just going to announce. The announcement would be, the introductory announcement would be, "Welcome to Point Taken with Kristen Bry, clearly a beautiful voice for broadcast, and Steve Scafidi, clearly a face for radio."
Oh, I knew you were going to. I knew. I just
thank you
knew
for listening.
That wasn't even. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, thanks,
buddy. Do you
have
a question?
No,
or
I already blew him up.
All right.
I knew he was. He said it to me once before.
Actually said it to me when I was hosting the Journal Sentinel thing recently.
Look, I'm doing my part. I lost 40 pounds.
You're looking great. You're looking healthy. You got more energy than I do most days. But I also have a toddler, so we'll blame that. All right. This, is, I actually think, is a really great question. And I think we both, my answer is very short. But the question is, can you describe or offer your opinions about the station's move from its previous, generally conservative lineup to the current, more comprehensively expansive approach to opinion, culture, works, view, et cetera? Thank you. I mean, the straight answer for me, as far as the change that the WTMJ has taken, is like, I'm a fan because I'm here. And so that's as simple as that, that I like it. And I think it's good for the community.
So I have answered this question in the sense of reporters asking me this, because I did a lot of stories the first time we've done this. Here's my reality. So we live in a world where there's actually more women than men, at least a country where there's more women than men. Why would you want to listen to a radio station where it's all men talking? First of all, I don't get that. I never understood that. So bringing in women and their voices, their smart, informed voices to do what I was doing, or Jeff Wagner in the past, completely makes sense. Second point, why would you want to listen to a station where everyone just parrots what you think? It's the most boring thing in the world. Like, I don't read books just because I agree with the author. I want to read books that challenge me, inform me, educate me. What we're trying to do here, and what I've said for years, even though I'd never get credit for it, and if there was any decent reporting on Radio Milwaukee, this would have been a story years ago. I'm doing something different. I have guests from both sides. I talk about both sides. I'm critical of both sides. I don't parrot party talking points. I could care less what a party thinks, because most of it is moronic and stupid. That's the difference. But the change for WTMJ is we're acknowledging the reality of the world we live in, which is it's a 50-50 state. And last time I checked, there's more women than men. Welcome to the year 2025, guys. What are you doing? It's not 1970 where you're smoking a cigarette, telling your girlfriend to go get you a beer. That doesn't exist anymore. Now, if she chooses to go get you a beer, good job, you. How about that answer?
How about them apples? All right, let's do some quick hitters. Here's a topical one. Gorilla or 100 Men?
I'd take a gorilla any day.
I would take a gorilla, too.
He's tossing those guys like nothing.
I don't think so. All right, what's your favorite Wisconsin supper club?
Oh, got to be Ishnala. Bob Prosser.
I've yet to go to Ishnala.
Oh, my goodness.
I've never been.
Yeah, Bob runs a great show out there, and he's only open in the warm months generally because he closes in the winter, but it is spectacular.
Locally, would you call 5 o'clock Steakhouse a supper club?
Yeah.
Yeah, they bring the relish tray out.
I haven't been there
right?
in a long time.
Oh, it's so good. Look, it's also just the decor. It feels like you're stepping back into like previous decades.
I had a great conversation with somebody who was a listener from another state, and this person asked me, I think it was a woman, what a supper club was. Because I guess it's sort of a Wisconsin
thing.
It's
very much a Wisconsin thing.
I go, imagine like going to a steak place in like the 1970s or 60s, and then like they have like relish trays, and the drinks are amazing and huge, and the steaks are awesome, and you got potato. That's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a nutshell.
All right, only fair play, I think this is directed at me.
Okay.
Do I wear granny panties or a thong? And I will say, depends on the day.
That's a good answer to that. Very provocative question.
Let's see. Steve, did you sample Booyah at the draft?
I didn't. I saw it was on.
What is it?
It's like this soup stewie thing, right?
Who makes it?
I don't even know.
Was it like a promoted thing that I didn't? I don't even know.
It's a big Green Bay thing or that part of the state. Someone will text in. Give us a definition of what Booyah actually is. I thought it was a soupy stew sort of a concoction.
Okay. All right. Kristen. Are you as committed a lawn enthusiast as Steve and myself? This is Mitch in Sturgeon Bay, who renovates ball fields.
Yeah, he's good at it.
No, I am trying to get rid of, I have a city plot that already doesn't have a lot of lawn, and we are this summer getting rid of what lawn there is, so we do not have to take care of it. It's going to be a landscaped situation, so not a lawn enthusiast, no.
No, I am.
I'm a city girl.
I am. I love landscaping. My lawn is not like Vetrano's lawn, where I think he has
like Twitter fights with
people. He puts on his swim trunks and lays on it like a bed in the summer. I don't do any of that
stuff. The funniest thing I ever said to Vetrano was some reel from Instagram of a woman being like, I'm going to dress up as the lawn so my husband will actually pay attention to me.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I was like, don't show your wife this.
Get those questions because we're running out of time. It's going to be a regular feature on Wednesdays. Ask Us Anything, Steve and Kristen on WTMJ. Get those questions in.
It's Point Taken with Steve and Kristen, our inaugural Ask Us Anything. We have plenty of questions. I like this was one. Hopefully he's still listening because this was one of the first questions we got today on the text line. As a young listener, he's 26, with a decent job, what steps do you recommend I take to prepare for future steps such as marriage, buying a house, or having kids with the current state of our country and economy?
Get out there. Don't be one of these people that sits in your house. Get out there, meet people. You know,
he's talking about his finances.
Oh, finances?
Well, right. I mean,
well, you said marriage.
Prepare for future steps such as buying a house, having kids.
Well, start by saving 50% of your income. I mean,
50%?
15.
Oh, 15. I thought it was like.
Well, if you can afford 50, go ahead, knock yourself out. You have a lot of money when you retire. That's an easy one. Make smart decisions. You were talking during a break about.
I joked. My answer is like, do not finance your trip to Coachella, apparently a lot of people who went to Coachella did. Don't put your DoorDash on Klarna.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing, and this is someone who I didn't really start getting serious about my life in these ways. I was very serious about my life in other ways, but as far as marriage, house, kids came for me in my mid-30s. And so I was still, let's say, immature at 26. I was not thinking about that stuff for sure.
As was I. I mean, I got married when I was 26. But it's like, you know, just think things through. Do your homework. Do your research. Don't
spend on stupid stuff.
Extravagant expenses. You don't need those. And try to – this is a really good one that I got really good at after I was 50 – manage your budget. Like, look at your budget. Like, what you're spending, what you don't need to spend. And once you do that, you have a better handle on what you're spending, and you certainly can make better decisions based on that. So that's my advice. I'm not a financial planner, but I know a good one at Annex Wealth Management, Dave Spano, and his outstanding team out there.
Good plug. All right. Was that Giannis's last game with the Bucks? Since they are not winning anything with Dame, without Dame next year, I understand you may be limited. I think we could talk about this. I don't know. I think he went on his quote last night. I think I saw this morning was they'll have to kick me out.
Yeah. I don't think
I don't know. I think the ownership is obviously not going to in any hurry after they saw what happened in Dallas when they traded for Luka to the Lakers. But no matter what, I think this is a thing. I saw the part I wanted to focus on. Obviously, all the morning shows this morning were talking about the standoff between Giannis and Tyrese Halliburton's dad. And the more positive angle, if you look at what Mariah, Giannis's wife, posted last night, it was pictures of them and their kids. And now they have four, but most of the pictures are of the three. And she's like, look what you've created. And I think that's like not only the family that he's created and like the most important thing, which is your family. But no matter what happens with Giannis, like the positive impact he has had with the championship, sure, but just the role model, who he is, how he shows up for this city, and is just such a stand-up human being. Like, he has given us so much that I also don't fault him if he would leave. I hope he stays. And he seems like a really loyal person, so I think he's staying.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I agree.
I just don't know what moves you make as a GM to improve the situation.
Here's the reality for Bucks fans, and we're disappointed. Yes, we're always disappointed when you lose in the playoffs.
It just pained me.
Giannis is not
going
anywhere, and all these sports guys are hot takes. They gotta ship them off. No, you don't have to do anything like that. You keep them and get some good young players around. Maybe not the $20 million players. Maybe a guy you draft that you develop. Maybe lightning strikes and you get a hot player you never expected to be that good, and you get a few players around him. Maybe at some point Dame comes back. I don't know. But this is going to be a good team if it has Giannis on it. Without Giannis, this is not a good team. And if you want to be the 1975 Bucks or 80 Bucks, whenever they were bad back then, I don't remember those records anymore. That's what's going to happen if you lose Giannis. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he loves Milwaukee, loves this team, and he loves the organization, and he loves the owners as well.
Yeah.
Why would he leave? Here's a good question. How long can you go without your phone? Dan from West Bend.
Probably shorter than you can.
I can go a weekend because I do it all the time.
I actually appreciate it when I forget my phone somewhere. Like, I forget it at home and we're just out and I don't have to. Because, like, if it's on me, I'm one of those people that's checking it more than I should. It's like a nervous tick of just like, oh, I'll just check Instagram or I'll just check something. I'll check my texts.
I want to ask you a question about that. Do you think, and I don't want to out anybody, but do you think women or men, if you can make that assessment, are more likely to answer their phone or let it go to voicemail? Do you think there's any
gender? I think it's more of an age thing than a gender thing.
Is that what it is? So the age would say older folks
answer
the phone. Young people know?
I think if Gen Z doesn't even know how to answer the phone.
Really? How many phone calls do you make on your phone? We've talked on your phone, so
yeah.
Some.
I mean, we do a lot of FaceTime now with Grandma and Grandpa.
Yeah.
But, like, actually talking on the phone?
Yeah, a real conversation.
I'm, like, checking my actual phone log right now.
Hey,
I had one phone call yesterday with someone who wasn't my husband or my mom.
Okay. All right.
And then I had one over the weekend that wasn't my husband or my mom. So not many.
Yeah.
It's a lot of texts and a lot of
emails.
So
what was your answer on leaving the setting your phone down?
Like, could possibly do it, like, without going into withdrawal? I don't know, a weekend?
And the follow-up is, how quickly would the people around you, in your case it would be your mom and or dad or your brother, go, why are you not answering your phone with a text or something? Because that's what usually happens in our house. Why don't you have your phones? Like, occasionally we both don't have our phones, and then we come home to
Your daughters are freaking out.
A flurry of like 5 or 6 text messages in like 5 minutes.
So why you got to share your location?
Yeah, that's also creepy.
It's sometimes. Not. This is one of the most useful things with your loved ones. Sharing your location. The amount of times that with Mike, I'm like, oh, he's here. I don't have to text him and be like, where are you? I can just see.
All right, we're saving time for one more great question, 855-616-1620. Ask us anything on a Wednesday edition of PT Point Taken. Kristen and Steve, 620 WTMJ. A rousing first day edition.
There's a lot of questions.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I love the interaction. Always appreciate the call, so thanks to Steve. And I think it was Joan from Greenfield. Very cool. We'll do a couple quick ones, then I want to wrap with something that I just thought of this morning when I was...
All right, there was someone who asked your opinion on the Buc-ee's in Oak Creek development. I live in Oak Creek and wish I had more information on if there's a positive for the Oak Creek area by having Buc-ee's located here.
It takes a piece of land that's sitting vacant and makes it a property tax generator. I think that's one of them. I don't know that it's necessarily there for Oak Creek residents or citizens. I think it's there for people traveling the freeway.
Yeah.
Here's something that I suggested to one of the council members in Oak Creek on a private conversation a couple of weeks ago. Use this place, this business, as an opportunity to welcome people to Oak Creek. It's like the first thing when you cross that line, right, into the county of Milwaukee and the city of Oak Creek. Don't waste the opportunity. And if you want, I can help you with that because I was a mayor of that city at one point. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, how many vacation days does Scafidi get?
Not enough. I could always...
More than me.
Hey. We had the hashtag more Steve, which worked out pretty well. Hashtag more vacation for Steve. How about that? Let's get that campaign going.
All right. It is also, can you believe that it's been 50 years since the end of the Vietnam War is today?
I saw a piece on CBS Sunday Morning, which sort of talked about that. And from in that case, the perspective of the pilots that took those people out of there, many of them citizens of Vietnam. Who were just trying to save their own lives. Many people perished, and also the pilots and the people in the military. But I was reminded of my friend Wayne, and I'm not going to say his last name, but he was a Vietnam vet who I was lucky enough to be a guardian for an honor flight. He's since passed. He said at the time he was very sick, and he had a hard time getting off the plane. He was very tired, and he was weakened by all the things that were going on with his cancer, and he blamed it on Agent Orange. But it opened my eyes to the things those individuals saw, because he told me the stories, and this is real life. He put his hand on the wall. He knew the names of some of those people who had perished. And that sort of that's a wake-up call, and I know Honor Flight's had similar stories like that. It's a celebration of the fact that these men and women had to do something that was absolutely heinous, right, in the defense of their country, and they served proudly, and many of them suffered. And chemicals and Agent Orange and all that stuff did horrific things to their body.
Well, and also just what they came back to as far as public opinion.
Yeah, not a welcome that they now are thankfully getting. So I remember Wayne on this day, and obviously we always hope for a peaceful world, and that's always my hope. But I remember Wayne on this day now 50-plus years from our leaving Vietnam, and hopefully those days signal a better time ahead. Fantastic show today.
Great Kristen, show.
Thanks
Very
for
fun.
Doing
what
it.
What was the closing thing that you wanted to...
That was it. I wanted to mention that. Yeah. So thanks for being here, all of you. We'll do it again tomorrow. We got a great show planned for the rest of this week and beyond because we work way ahead.